Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Now, I know that many of you have enjoyed the Olympics as much as I have. 2 weeks of intense competition, records being set left and right, joys and disappointments for many of the athletes in the countries they represent. And among my favorite events are the gymnastics. I marvel at the abilities of these young people to twist their bodies in odd shapes, bounce themselves so many feet up off the ground, balance on those skinny little beams, and the strength is particularly amazing. And that brings us to this morning's guest, Dr. Tamara Sherpella, Associate Professor, Orthopedic Surgeon, and Researcher from SUNY Upstate. Good morning, Dr. Sherpella.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming by. I bet you've had a keen eye on the gymnasts, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And some of that is because you were a gymnast yourself.
That's right.
Tell us about your experience.
I was a gymnast many years ago when I was in my teenage years and up through the beginning of my college years.
Right, at the University of Iowa.
That's right.
Did you ever aspire to the Olympics?
Oh, sure.
Doesn't every young gymnast aspire to the Olympics? But that as a result, you got into orthopedic surgery, which is really sports medicine from your perspective.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about your sports medicine practice.
Well, I practice here at SUNY Upstate. My practice is devoted to sports medicine and arthroscopic surgery. Those two go hand in hand because most of the joint disorders that are associated with sports medicine are treatable through arthroscopic surgery. So in addition to taking care of athletes of many kinds and from all walks of life, we take care of people with injuries that are treatable by arthroscopic surgery that may have sustained those injuries in a non-sport fashion.
Sure.
Well.
And so you're really treating patients of every age, aren't you?
We are.
Younger people perhaps with some of the gymnasts and then older people when they need different, like knees replaced and that kind of thing.
That's true. We refer our older patients with the joint replacements to specialists in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And in sports medicine, we really are limiting ourselves mostly to arthroscopic procedures.
Now, that also brings us to your research work, because that's really less about joint and more about bone. Tell us what your research is.
Well, I've been working for the last 11 or 12 years on examining the role that activity, particularly impact activity, plays in generating bone, particularly during growth, during childhood and adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been studying gymnasts as a model for impact loading in comparison to girls who aren't gymnasts.
All right. So now we're going to define all of these things. First of all, if I understand correctly, your aim is to learn more about osteoporosis.
Yes.
And how that plays out, the causes of it perhaps?
Yes. We're looking specifically at how osteoporosis could be prevented by improving the bone that is gained during growth.
Okay.
If one can attain a higher level of bone growth in terms of density and strength of the bone, by the time one has completed skeletal growth, then we have a better place to fall from as we age.
I see. Now, if we look at young gymnasts, you used the term loading. So explain to us what that means.
Well, there are many types of loading. Gymnasts in particular load all of their extremities in a different fashion than most of us do in daily life.
Mm-hmm.
So they weight bear on their upper extremities, mm-hmm. Which many of us would never do. And they apply impact loads to their entire body when they do the tumbling, the vaulting, the dismounts. So they are loading their bones in a fashion that is much higher, 8, 10, 12 times body weight compared to simple walking around.
So would you say that that a synonym maybe for loading in this case would be stresses they put on their joints and their bones and that kind of thing from the impact?
Yes, very much.
So they're really testing them. They're putting them to the test far more than we who are just walking around the street ever would.
Yes, they are.
And so you study that. How do you study that?
We study that by evaluating the changes in the bone,
mm-hmm.
That are seen in a group of subjects that we have been following for many years. We do annual measurements. We use a DEXA, which is a bone densitometer,
mm-hmm.
to look at bone density. We can also get some information about bone shape, and we do that at several sites. We look at the forearm, the hip, the spine, and the total body. We've also added a specific machine called a peripheral CT scan, a quantitative CT scan, which, similar to the CT scans we use for diagnosing disease processes, but it's isolated just for use in small extremities. So we use it at the forearm, and it gives us information about the bone in a quantitative fashion. So it tells us about bone density and bone geometry in a very specific fashion.
So you measure this, and how many, you have gymnasts that you're measuring, how many are you working with?
We have about 75 girls at this point. Half of them have been in our study for almost 12 years.
Ah.
And the other half for about 7 years.
So they must have started very young if they've been in your projects for so long.
They did. We enrolled them at between ages 7 and 10.
Mm-hmm. And are they still involved in gymnastics?
Most of them have ceased gymnastic participation. We have a few that are active still now in college. Many of them stopped gymnastics, and actually, although they thought that might bounce them out of the study, we've kept them right in there because that answers, or allows us to answer, one of our main questions, which is, will they maintain the benefit that they gained by doing gymnastics during childhood and adolescence?
So what you have found, if I'm understanding correctly, is that at those younger years, they actually were building more bone than somebody who wasn't doing gymnastics.
Yes, if we look at child and adolescent gymnasts compared to non-gymnasts, they have greater bone density, larger bones, and higher theoretical bone strength compared to the girls who didn't do gymnastics.
They do. And so now the ones you've followed already for 12 years, are you finding that they have maintained that higher level of bone?
It appears that that's the case. We have really only preliminary results in that cohort because we need them all to catch up to the same biological age. They need to be the same distance post-puberty to really do a good analysis.
Has anyone done a study on some of the gymnasts that we know have been around for a very long time, the Olga Corbett's and the Nadia Comaneci's of this world? Do we know anything about their bone density?
Yes, we do. There are a couple of studies that were really part of the impetus for my study. They were done in a cross-sectional fashion, which means people were looked at one time at a certain point in their life, and then inferences were made about what that meant. And so there were a couple of studies that looked at adult gymnasts that were 15, 20 years retired, and they found higher bone density in comparison to non-gymnasts.
They did. Does that tell us then, between what you're learning and what we know about them, does that tell us that we should be putting all our kids into gymnastics at these younger ages?
That's a commonly asked question. I think not. I think we're using gymnastics as a model to study what is possible with physical activity during childhood and adolescence, and what we might be able to obtain if we are able to provide an appropriate exercise program for kids during those years, what they might be able to grow in terms of strong, dense bones that will keep them from becoming osteoporotic in the future. But I don't think that that's necessarily the model that we can all aspire to. Many of us wouldn't be capable of doing gymnastics.
Right. And not only that, I have to think, as a parent, I would be, while I'd be thrilled that my child was building bone, I think I might be also a little concerned that it would have take its toll on their joints.
Certainly. Gymnasts have a very high injury rate, higher even than football, which
really
is always considered the most dangerous sport. So I don't think that I would advocate gymnastics for the sake of building bone. We're using it as a model in girls who already have chosen to do gymnastics.
Right, as a way to measure all of that. How does all of this get paid for?
Well, it is supported typically through grant money from an outside institution. My work was originally funded by the Orthopedic Research and Education Foundation. I applied for and received a grant and was able to start the project. I was then awarded a small grant from the NIH in 2001 that allowed me to expand.
National Institutes of Health, right?
Right.
And then now you've just gotten a bigger one.
I have. I just received a $2 million grant for the next 5 years to continue the work from the National Institutes of Health.
They must think it's very important, because we have had other guests who have told us how difficult it is to get that NIH funding. So congratulations to you.
Thank
because
you.
I know that isn't easy. Very good. Is there anything else we should know about your study? Are you looking to recruit people? Are you looking to recruit youngsters, for instance, and boys and girls, or just girls? Or
we are looking to recruit a new group to begin with our new funding. We would like to recruit 50 young gymnasts and 30 non-gymnasts. We'll be beginning this fall.
Okay.
And we would like them to be prior to beginning their pubertal growth. So we're looking for 9 to 11-year-olds.
Very good. And is it just girls or girls and boys?
We're looking at just girls.
Just
They're
girls.
The ones who suffer primarily from osteoporosis.
Very good. And do you have a phone number people can call?
They can call 315-464-4472.
Okay, 464-4472. And we will put that contact information on our HealthLink on Air website as well.
Wonderful.
Well, Dr. Tamara Sciarpella, thank you so much for coming by this morning. This has been fascinating.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.
Hi, Tim.